Well, I'm very excited about this message tonight because the Lord has spoken to me through it. And I believe he's going to speak to all of us, as he always does, through his word. But I want to begin by asking you, are you going through some trial in your life that you don't understand? Maybe it's a painful disappointment, some kind of persecution or suffering that you feel is just never going to end, and the pain is so excruciating, you don't know how you're going to make it through another day. And all you want is relief. Are you there now, or you've been there? Some kind of escape, some kind of into it. And did you know something? That God has something far more important for us in it than just to get out of this difficulty and this hardship. God has a great purpose in it for us. And God is going to bring about good in our life and wants us to benefit from it, more than delivering us from the pain and the suffering that can almost seem unbearable sometimes, can it? Sometimes things can just come into our life, difficulty, persecution, suffering, and you feel like you can't make it through another second. And all you want is some relief. And how are we to respond? And what is God up to in allowing all these things to happen? And do you want to benefit from it? Do you want to get better? Or do you want to get bitter? You know, it's easy to get resentful, isn't it, and play the blame game and play the victim game. And how do we know that? How do we know that God intends and can bring great good out of our suffering, even if it's suffering that has come upon us because of some kind of evil that's been done against us or some kind of evil that we've done ourselves? How do we know that? Well, we know that because of the cross, don't we? That if God can bring an amazing good, in fact, the greatest good that was ever done in all of human history at the cross, then how much more can he bring out of the lesser things that happen and come into my life and yours? The cross, the center of our faith. In fact, if you were going to advertise the Christian life, what would we use to advertise it? What message would you put out there? And we would say, we always put the cross. We wear it around our neck. We put it, wear it as jewelry. We put it on t-shirts. We talk about it. We have it as the center of our churches, the cross. And when you think about it, a place of suffering, a place of persecution, a place of death, but yet we call it the wondrous cross, don't we? And why are we so attracted to it? Because it was in that suffering at the cross that I found my freedom, my comfort, my peace, my joy. And listen, did you know that in the trials that you and I are going through right now, that God's intention and design and desire for us is the same? He is leading us to a place of blessing, to a place of joy, to a place of freedom, because it is in these trials, this is how we know God. And Paul refers to it in chapter 14 and down in verse number 22 when he says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And what is he talking about there? He's not talking about us earning our way to heaven, earning our way into the kingdom. We can't do that. Jesus did that for us, and he did that how? Through suffering, through persecution, through difficulty, through pain, through death. But the hardships, as believers, we come into the kingdom of God. We enter into the kingdom through the cross, through the suffering of Christ. But what the Bible shows us and tells us that the way we live in that kingdom, the way God rules and reigns in our life is through difficulty and suffering and persecutions and hardships that come into our lives. That's why he said, if anyone would come after me, She must deny herself, take up her cross daily, and follow me. He told his disciples, he prepared them. He said, in this world you will have many struggles. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Listen to me. It is through suffering and difficulties. These are the ways that you and I come to know God. Even the Son himself, Hebrews says, even though he was a son, he learned obedience to his fathers through what he suffered. We had the most wonderful Christmas. It was, I would almost say, it was almost magical. We traveled to see our children in London, and all of our children, the whole kit and caboodle of them, came and met us in London, and I would describe it as almost magical. But you know something, what else I came away with from that? Every single last one of them had either just been through something difficult, were going through something difficult, or were heading into something difficult. And my daughter mentioned this when we left. She said, you know something, Mom? What I'm realizing, when we come together as a family, more than just making great memories and more than just having a good time and getting to spend time with the grandchildren, it is to come together so that we can see what each other's going through and encourage one another and build one another up and pray for one another. And that's the reason, you see, we do that, but it's also the reason we do that is God's family here. Because all of us in here, we're either in something very painful, we're getting ready to go through it, we're coming out of it, or because that's part and parcel with the Christian life. We're going to look at three things, and when we look at God's people, isn't it true? Through Old Testament and New Testament, it is through the difficulties. And we look in the book of Acts, the early church, every single chapter is chock full of difficulties and hardships and heartache and persecution and suffering. And we need to prepare each other. We need to be reminded of it. Whether you're new to the faith, whether you're old in the faith, we need to always be reminded that of each other. Listen, every chapter of the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's people or at the center of difficulty, but God had great purpose in it, and he does for us now and whatever we're going to work through. We're going to look at three things. We're going to look at trials. Grace in our trials are a pathway. Trials are a pathway into the kingdom. Trials are a gateway into the kingdom. And trials are the highway, the king's way, the Jesus way, to live in the kingdom of God. So let's start first of all in verses 1-7, and we're going to look at the pathway to the kingdom. There's one way. There's the straight way, and that is taking up the cross daily and following him. That's clear. That means that every single day I am surrendering my will to God's will, my way to God's way. It means that we are feeling that pressure, that tension, that difficulty of always having to give up what I want and take on something better, take on what God wants. It's one way, the pathway. And if you remember, Paul and Barnabas had been sent out in chapter 13, verse 2. They were praying. The Holy Spirit told them, send out Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas have been sent out into the Gentile world to take the gospel into the Gentile world. And so when we pick up at chapter 14, they had been to Cyprus. Now they had entered Galatia, which is modern day Turkey. And so we find them in the middle of this first missionary journey. And the cities they were going to were Roman cities in Galatia, which is modern day Turkey. You can look all that up on your map. So we're going to pick up in chapter 14 and verse 1, and we're going to see that trials are the pathway to the kingdom. And it's knowing that that enables you and me to speak effectively, to speak powerfully the gospel. And we see that with Paul and Barnabas. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. They were Roman citizens, but there were cities, but there was also Jewish synagogues there. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord. Isn't that interesting? That as persecution, that as they spoke powerfully, and God spoke powerfully through them, that any time we speak powerfully for the Lord, we can rest assured as power comes down from heaven that persecution itself is going to come up from hell. And rather than flee from it, rather than escape from it, they spent considerable time there. Speaking with power means we're going to be hard-pressed. We're going to feel the pressure of the opposition that we live in. And if we choose to live it this way, there's going to be times in our life when we're going to feel uncomfortable. And we don't like that, do we? We like to build our lives around being comfortable. And if there's one thing this pandemic is teaching us, if there's one thing that God is doing this, He is pushing us all out of our comfort zone, isn't He? He is forcing us out of that comfort zone. Listen to me. We can sort of kind of build our comfort around our lives, but you will never, your faith will never, ever grow in a comfortable setting. Our faith grows when we are uncomfortable. Our faith grows during times of persecution. Loyalty to the gospel brought down the supernatural power of God, and it brought up satanic persecution. That's the way it works. Preaching of the gospel, power, persecution, which precipitates more power. And that's what God has called us to. James said it this way, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, then you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. They spoke with power, but they also served with perseverance, didn't they? In verse 5, there was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian city of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country where they continued to preach the good news. Would that describe us? Persecution comes, difficulties come, hardships come. What is our natural tendency? It's to want to quit. Did you know that trials are the way, difficulties are the way that we know God? And what gives us peace, what gives us encouragement, what gives us strength is that God is in control of them. He's in control of the intensity. He's in control of the longevity. And you know something else, that the blessing for us is to be able to say, you know this, many of you have been through intense trials, devastating trials. You've buried the loves of your life. You've buried your children. You've been abused. You've been persecuted. You know about it. And when you trust God through it and you see God come through for you, what do you say when it's all said and done? God came through for me. God came through for me. And I love Him more now than I ever have. And I'm aware of His love for me than I've ever been. Paul said it this way. He said, I want to know Christ and the mighty power. This is the New Living Translation. I want to know Christ and the mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, that I might experience the resurrection. He said this, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Therefore, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's our comfort. That's our hope, that in this trial, God is doing something good. And He's going to bring me through it. Through the new birth, you and I enter the kingdom. through being born again of the Spirit of God because of what Jesus did for me. But then our entire lives are to be lived wholly for the will of God, under the lordship of Christ. You see, self-rule is the cornerstone of Satan's kingdom. So how does God then deliver us from self-rule? By bringing suffering into our lives, by bringing hardship into our lives. Why? So we'll relinquish it, to cause us to get to the end of ourselves, so we'll cry out to Him and depend upon Him. To most of us, the most difficult thing we're facing right now is to willingly consent to the rule of God in our lives. And listen, we don't go down easy, do we? Sometimes it's a slow, painful death, isn't it? And praise God, He's committed. He's committed to ruling and reigning over our lives. Suffering, someone has described, is the Christian life. And we need to remind each other of that. Trials, grace is the pathway to the kingdom. There is one way to living in God's kingdom. One way to living as the under the lordship, under the rule and reign of the King. And He said it is what? Taking up a cross daily and following Me. Surrendering my will to His. And I'm telling you something, I do not do that easy. It is a fight. It is a fight. So we can thank Him for the trials, you see? Thank Him for the suffering. God, if it causes me to cry out and depend upon You, not only is it a pathway, it's the straight way, it's the only way. Listen, but trials are the gateway into the kingdom. See, most people regard trouble, don't we, as a dead end. Oh no, this happened to me. It's the end of the world. But the Bible, the cross, you see, sees it as an entrance to something magnificent. Isn't that true? Even the disciples, didn't they think, oh my goodness, we left everything to follow Him. The two on the road to Emmaus, haven't you heard? While we left everything and we thought He was going to throw out the Romans and reestablish the throne of David, and now we don't know what's, they thought it was the end. But what was it? It was the beginning. It was the beginning of the new covenant, a beginning, a new way of knowing God. And so what looks like a dead end to us, may I remind you, when it looks hopeless, when it looks helpless, when it looks like where in the, what good can come out of this, may I remind us of something tonight? That it's an entrance into something greater. Entrance into something better. Isn't that the truth? Think about it. Look all through Scripture. When God's people, when God delivered them up out of Egypt and He took them out into the desert, and there they were with the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army coming behind them. Dead end, right? No, God just opened up the Red Sea. And what about when He took them out into the desert? Where are we going to get something to eat? Well, He just opened up the heaven and brought down manna. And what about our shoes? What about, and God just provided for them. But it was through that desert experience and the suffering and the hardship that God took them into the promised land. And there they were again. How can we get into the promised land? Well, there's the River Jordan, and we cross the River Jordan, and there's tightly shut up Jericho. You see, all of it. All of it, all of it was an entrance to something greater, something grand, a way that they were going to see the glory of God more fully and know Him better. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Is God working in our lives like that today? That the dead ends, as far as God is concerned, are entrances. Because God's got something we haven't thought of, right? So they just left where they were and they went down to Lystra, and there was a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him. He saw that he had faith to be healed, and he said, stand up on your feet. And that man jumped up and he began to walk. You see? It was a gateway to Paul seeing how God wanted to use him. How God wanted to take Paul and use him in the world with people who needed to know that there's a God in heaven who loved him. God's desire and design is to show his ability through you. And God is up to something in this dead end. He's equipping you. Did you know that? He's humbling you and disciplining you so that you'll depend upon him and not yourself. Paul said it this way. He said, to keep me from being conceited, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. Three times he said, I pleaded for the Lord to take it, but God said, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul said, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness that Christ's power will rest on me. Easy to depend upon our own abilities, isn't it? Easy to depend upon our education, our talents, our gifts, or personality, or whatever it is. You see, God brings things into our life to humble us. He knows what's in there. He knows what's deep down inside of us that needs to come out and needs to be dealt with and needs to be crucified, needs to be surrendered. Why? Because God, listen to me, is not interested in what you can do or what I can do. God is interested in what he's going to do through you. And what he's going to do through you, and what he's going to do through you, and what he's going to do through me. And he strips us, and he tries us, and he troubles us, and he, let me tell you something, he will lay you flat out until you will look up into heaven and you say, God, help me. Save me. May there be nothing left of me but you. For us to be effective in the world, you see, that's what he has to do, and he uses difficulties, he uses trials, he uses dead ends, because trials are a gateway to the kingdom, a gateway to God's power and God's ability working through me and Christ's humility in my life. So when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, and they brought bulls and wreaths to the city, and you know the rest, because the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. They wanted to set Paul and Barnabas up as little gods. And there are many people today, even Christians, right, who are perfectly satisfied for other people to set them up as these little gods. And the Bible says this, your attitude should be the same as Christ. And what was his attitude? Being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. Being made in human likeness, being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself even unto death, even to death on a cross. Therefore, God hath exalted him to the highest place and has given him the name that is above every name, that at the sound of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the praise of God, the Father Almighty. How does God humble us? He crushes us, doesn't he? He will crush us until there's nothing left but him. And could it be that's what he's doing now? Could it be he's brought you to a dead end and you're thinking, what could be left? Maybe he's doing it because it's a gateway of something amazing God wants to do, a new ministry, a new calling, a new work, a new focus, maybe doing the same things, but doing it differently now. Instead of under your own strength, doing it under his strength. He's the source. Paul said this, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Gateway. Trials are a gateway into the kingdom, an entrance to be used by God. Why? So we can depend on God's ability, on Christ's humility, and the Holy Spirit's tenacity. In verses 19 and 20, then some of the Jews came down from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over. They stoned Paul and they dragged him outside the city thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and he went back into the city, and the next day he and Barnabas left for Derbe. It's easy, isn't it? It's easy to want to quit, isn't it? Now, I have to say, on a night like tonight, I don't feel like I'm talking to a room of quitters, because you're here tonight and it's dark and it's cold and most people are staying home, aren't they? So I commend you for being here. But it feels easy to want to quit, doesn't it? And especially when things go on for so long and they're so hard. How easy it is for us to want to quit and escape and just stop and give up. But you know something? Acts shows us that those filled with the Holy Spirit will full of energy, not work done by human energy or zeal or wisdom or eloquence, but energy and equipping of a risen, ascended Lord, poured forth through the Spirit in their lives. We won't learn faith. Our faith will not grow in comfortable surroundings. It just will not. And you know that. The pathway and the gateway, listen, the trials, did you know, were chosen by God? Did you know that? The ones you are going through right now, they are chosen by God. Remember that? Acts chapter 9, verse 15. What did God tell Ananias? He said, Paul is my chosen instrument to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and I must show him what all he will suffer for my name. Remember, Deuteronomy says this, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. Whether you would keep his commands, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's what he's doing in our lives. Teaching us. Paul said it this way. He said, I have learned to be content in plenty and want. I've learned to be content. He was 80 years old when he wrote that, and I would like to ask him one day, how long did it take you to learn that? He said, I learned it because I went through times when I was in want, and I went through times when I had plenty. That's how he learned it, to be content. It's the gateway. Trials. There's no other way. God promised us that. We need to remember that. So whatever trial we're going through, listen to me, you can trust God has a great purpose in it. He's in control of it. Knowing that gives us peace. He's in it with you. He's gone ahead of you, right? When you go through a trial, don't you want someone, isn't it a comfort to you? You're going through a financial difficulty. You don't want somebody who comes who seems to always have had plenty. But when someone else comes to you and they go, I've been there. I've been there. There's comfort in that, right? And so whatever trial we're going through, listen, we can look at the cross and we can hear him say, I've been there. I've been there. And I'm with you in this. This was designed for you, allowed for you. governed. I'm superintending it. I am approving your faith in it. We're not proving, in a sense, anything to God. God knows the strength or the weakness of my faith. He's proving it, I think, to me. How do I know I'm saved? Well, because some 50 years ago I made a commitment to Christ? Yes. No, because I look at myself and I go, well, here I am 50 years later, and you know something? I still love him. My faith is still holding God. Thank you. Thank you. He has proved and approved my faith. How? In good times and hard times. He has been there. By his grace, my faith has held and grown, and I'm thankful for it. It's the pathway. It's the gateway. Lastly, it's the highway, verses 21 through 28. It's the king's way. Trials are the king's way. The Jesus way. The Jesus way. On the island of Patmos, John wrote this, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are ours in Christ Jesus. It's the strong way, verses 21 through 22. They preached the good news in that city and they won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Now, how did they have that strength? God had equipped them in their trials. Did you know something, that God is equipping you right now with what you're going through to turn around and strengthen someone else by what you're going through? Did you know that? Can I tell you this, and I mean this with all of my heart? Your very presence here, just your sitting here, just your presence here tonight, is strengthening somebody else, especially during these times of great fear, of great oppression. Just the very fact you would show up tonight, I can tell you, for one, it's strengthening me and Johnny. Because you know something? How do is anybody going to show? And here you come. You come. Should we go back home? Should we even go tonight? Well, you're here. The AV team is here. Your presence here is strengthening us. You can't underestimate that. Sometimes it's just our presence, isn't it, that strengthens somebody else. Well, you know something? They're not afraid to be. Well, she's not afraid. She's doing it. She's showing up. Well, then that strengthens me. It can be just our presence, can it? To strengthen one another. They went. Their very presence strengthened the disciples. Don't underestimate that. It's the highway to the kingdom. It's the strong way. It's the sacrificial way, wasn't it? In verses 23 through 25, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting commended them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. And after going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. What did it cost them? What did it cost Paul? Everything, didn't it? Everything. That's the life of a disciple. That's the life of a follower of Jesus. That's the life of someone. Salvation cost us nothing, but the life of a disciple will cost us everything. Take up the cross, Jesus said. Take it up, and you will find life. And what is life? What is eternal life? Jesus said in John 17, it is knowing God. It's knowing him. And how do we know him? Through his word. His word lived out, taken into the heart, and obeyed in the trials that we're going through. That's faith. When there seems no reason to trust him, no reason to believe him, and we take him at his word and we just begin to act on it. And then amazing things happen. We see God come through for us. The highway, the King's way, the Jesus way is the strong way. It's the sacrificial way. But what else is it? It's the successful way. It's the only way. It's the victorious way. It's the triumphant way. From Italia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. They completed the work. And on arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles like he said he would. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. It's a choice. Everything else is failure. Do you want to be bitter or you want to be better? Angry, blaming, seeing yourself as the victim, upset? Or ask God to help you see that in this trial, there's going to be a tremendous benefit and purpose in my life. Why? So that when I come through it, I can, you know, God just came through for me. You're not going to believe what he did. Why, he was just, you're not going to believe things. He was there for me. And yes, it was hard, but I saw God come through for me every single time. Jeremiah 6 says, stand at the crossroads and look and ask, where is the good way, the ancient way, and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Will you choose today, tonight, to trust him, depend upon him in your trials? God, I believe there's going to be great benefit in this. And I'm going to trust you in it. Will you bow with me?